when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And listen, like we said before, before being ran, I left our first hour. We're going into our second hour. We have big sister Nancy Hitt coming out. She's put together an outline, as she always does. And we also have baby sister Monica Schaefer coming in. She's going to be doing commentary with Sister Nancy. So Sister Nancy, she's one of our pretty much our historians, along with Gene, the bitter ender Andrews, who's going to be coming on the third hour. They are historians par excellence. So anyway, go ahead, Sister Nancy. How are you doing tonight?
Almost perfect, Eddie. I love the first hour.
Thank you so much.
You and Rand did real good.
I appreciate that. I certainly do. And we got baby sister Monica. How are you doing tonight, Sister Monica?
Excellent as well. Great to hear your voices. And yeah, I also enjoyed the first hour. I might make some commentary, but I'll let Nancy go first here.
Well, if you want to talk about your theory on the nukes, that's fine with me. We'll go back to black crime.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I really am not certain about this, but there seems to be more and more evidence, you could say, that nuclear weapons don't exist. Now, people might call me crazy to say that because, you know, there was Hiroshima, Nagasaki, but those could be just big bombs. And just take a look at the mayhem and wreckage that happened from the ship that blew up in the harbor of Halifax in, I believe it was 1917. Now, nobody said that was nukes. It was just bombs, DNT, on a ship that blew up in the harbor, and it just laid the city flat. So big bombs do exist, and I'm also not saying that there aren't contaminated bombs with nuclear waste. Like nuclear power plants exist, and depleted uranium exists. These things exist. But it's one of these things. The reason I bring it up is because it was used as a big, big, big scare tactic back when I was in my youth. That was the big thing that loomed over our heads, so much so that a lot of people thought, wow, do I even want to bring children into this world? It just seems like there's no future because there's going to be nuclear annihilation, MAD, that's what mutually assured destruction. And this big fear hung over us for decades, really. And now it's kind of resurfacing, I would say. And it's not to say there aren't destructive and weapons and whatnot, but this notion that there could be a complete annihilation from nuclear weapons, I don't think that exists, but that's just my opinion. And I think it's another one of those scare things, you know, the turtle that was, you know, taught us all to duck and cover. Every child in school was shown that video, and I think in the 50s probably. There's always something that's scaring the youth. Right now it's the Fridays for Future gang, FFF, that's 666. You know, they all were encouraged to skip school every Friday to protest the big boogeyman called global warming / climate change now, which is another hoax that they want to rid our world of carbon dioxide or lower the, and we're at a very low level right now of carbon dioxide. Like historically through the ages, the level of carbon dioxide has been much, much higher. Greenhouse operators pump the stuff into their greenhouses to help the plants grow, and they want to lower the levels. They want to basically exterminate life because that is the stuff of life. So, okay, that's the scare right now for kids, and there are youth that are signing pledges to not have babies because they want to save the planet. Absolutely. There are these organizations that encourage the youth to sign pledges to not have babies. And that comes back to something I did touch on last week in terms of solutions, which, Eddie, you're always keen on solutions, solutions, solutions. And I say, let's encourage the young people, the young listeners out there, make babies and have, mm-hmm. you know, I'm serious about this. Like, that is really the ultimate, our enemy's winning strategy is to make us have less babies while they're mm-hmm. killing us off too. But, you know, don't be living in fear that, oh, there's no hope for this world. It's all going to, you know, to just into the dumps. And so then not having babies on purpose, that's the losing strategy. And I'll just pause there. Sorry, I went on so long. This is supposed to be Nancy bringing in her.
Well, it's both of us, and you have your ideas as well. Even Eddie has a few ideas.
Yeah.
I think what our topic, I think Eddie's suggestion was for this hour. I think he and Rand have covered most of it in many ways. It is the question remains. Have any blacks been convicted of hate crimes in the commission of a crime, a brutal crime, murder, robbery, rape, torture, whatever? This, I tried to do a little research to see if I could find any blacks who had been convicted or accused. It seems to me that a black will only be possibly convicted if he, in the midst of killing someone, he screams out, "Kill Whitey," during the commission of a crime. He might be considered a racist at that point if they can get him, if they can actually get him saying to kill the whites or kill Whitey. Gene sent me an email stating that he knew of one person who had been killed, and he was killed actually in Kentucky, in Guthrie, Kentucky, flying a Confederate flag. That was Michael Westerman. He was killed by a group of blacks, and he said that he thought that these blacks were convicted of a hate crime. And, you know, when he comes on next hour, we'll maybe be able to get more information about that. I have something in front of me that I do not know what paper it came out of. It's a couple of very interesting statements that I'm going to read a couple of them. It does apply to what we're talking about here. And one of them says, "Black hatred of whites, obvious enough in such phenomena as interracial crime, which is overwhelmingly black versus white, may sometimes be called reverse racism. But even this shows that the word racism isn't racially neutral. It implicitly refers to whites unless a qualifier is added." Of course, the qualifier is neutral. But anyway, this is another statement. It says, "By now it should be clear to anyone with a brain that forced integration is to racial harmony what the shotgun wedding is to romance."
That's great.
And
for a shotgun, I'd never been married, but go ahead. Just kidding.
The state crowds us into unwanted relations with each other. This is what civil rights has come to, forcing us into contact with people we're not wanting to be in contact with. And here's one other thing. I don't know who wrote these things, but it says the most American Americans, angry white males, now regard their own government as their enemy, and for good reason. Their own government regards them as its enemy. So that's where we are right now. White males especially are not only the enemy of the government, And so as they're just collateral damage, when they get killed, murdered, robbed, or whatever, we don't want to talk about the blacks who committed these crimes. And Eddie, you probably remember, and Monica maybe too, there was a caller who called into the radio station it was a lady called in from Louisiana, and she really said it. She hit the nail on the head when she said, "We don't have a crime problem, we have a black problem."
She's right, and, straight up right.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
I tried to contact her unsuccessfully.
You know, all one has to do is go, if they want to, go on the internet and research and look for black crimes against whites. The list is endless. It's all over the country, of course. And just like Eddie was talking about, Memphis is really saturated with these problems. I'm in Louisville. We've got a new Jewish mayor bragging about how he's going to control crime, and we've already had, I'm going to say, since the first of the year, at least 10 murders. We have a shooting pretty much almost every night in Louisville. Sometimes they get really hepped up and they shoot more than one, but there's just problems everywhere. And I know the mayor is not going to be able to really control this problem, because nobody wants to face up what the real problem is, which is black crime. They want to, you know, they want us to think that they can do something. In reality, I don't know what they can do unless they barricade them.
So, Sister Nancy, I don't know if you hear the music or not, but we have to go to the first break of the second hour. Folks, be right back.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
God bless you, people holding on. God bless you, Blood River family. We love you. We really do. We do this for you. We do this for our family, of course, first and foremost. You know, charity starts in the home. But we were having a conversation during the break, and I've told people jokingly, but it has a lot of merit. I have a postdoctorate, PhD level, postdoctorate level, professor emeritus of race relations that I got from the University of Memphis, University of South Memphis, and that's the University of the College of Race Relations. I spent a lot of time, several years, in South Memphis, the blackest part of South Memphis. The reason for it, my mother had left. We had broken home. Mother left when I was young, very, very young. Dad was a construction worker, God rest his soul. He had his own little construction company, an alcoholic. In those days, construction worker and alcoholic was like saying Ford and automobile or Chrysler and automobile. They were one and the same. If you were a construction worker, you're pretty much of an alcoholic. But he stayed on the road all the time, so I pretty much raised myself. Well, I was telling my sister Monica and sister Nancy that I had to take a different route home from school. I had to go 2-3 miles through rough black neighborhoods. And if I took the same route home from school more than one day in a row, I had to many different routes. I could sometimes go 2 days in a row, but if I took the same route home to and from school more than 2 days in a row, it was guaranteed I was going to get jumped. It was God saved me. He really did, because I wasn't that big. You know, I was started when I was 10, 11 years old and continued until I was in my early teens when Dad finally got me out of that section, of that horrible section. But I was telling our people that I could be going down an alley and these blacks, they were much older than me, gangs of them. They thought it was cute. What was really funny, one of the favorite things they liked to do was turn dogs loose on you. They didn't have a lot of pit bulls in those days, just big curs, and they had these big chows mixed, you know, but the chows get me. There was sick dogs loose on me. Many a day, I'd have to run and just dive over a fence, just like Superman. Dodge bricks, dodge Coke bottles. It was like that every stinking day. And I'll close this by saying, every day, when that first started, when we first moved in that area, I would start getting sick. Before about an hour 15 minutes before school was out, and I felt like I was coming down with a sore throat, headache, stomach ache, and I thought I was coming down with strep throat because I was kind of prone to strep throat when I was a kid. And when I finally made it home, after I was home within an hour, the symptoms would start going away. Well, I finally figured out what it was. It was just stress, fear, just incredible stress, incredible fear. You know, 11-year-old boy being jumped by 6 or 8 much older blacks, having dogs turn loose on me. I couldn't get out of the house at night. I couldn't play. There was no play because you would be jumped. It was just a living hell. I mean, it really was. It was worse than Vietnam in some ways. It was. I can't just tell you the horror. And I know I was. I still suffer from some of those things. And I would just. I would tell you something else. One of the culprits, well, I guess I shouldn't say this, but I know we used to go, and I'll make this short. Me and Keith and James and Henry Jones, who owns Jones Orchard, we used to have these what we call the tours, and we go down to this part of section, this part of Memphis every now and then. Those old boys, they've been close to the burial ground of one of these people that I'm talking about that made my life such a living hell. That's all I'll say. I hope I didn't say too much there. But people, I'm telling you what. I learned what a black is. They are. Here's the point of the story. They are born hating. It's in their genetics. They hate you. I don't care how much education they have. I've seen them that could barely talk. I was in the Army with them that had college degrees. And every single one to a man, they hate your guts. They're born that way. And you got to get that out. Until you can come up and face that fact, don't come and tell me, I know a few blacks, they're not all bad. And don't tell me, I know a few Jews, they're not all bad. There is no good Jew. There is no good black. They are, it's in their damn genetics. And if you don't believe that, I hope the hell you run into it sometimes. I hope you go through a living hell like that. I hope you get roughed up good. Maybe not killed, but you people that don't believe that, you need to face up to, you need to have it happen to you. I have so much bitterness in my heart because these white sons of bitches turn on their own people. I better shut up now. Go back to you. I'm sorry, Miss Monica. Didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no, I was going to interrupt you, so you don't need to apologize to me. But no, that's a really important story. Actually, when you're telling it, it just about makes me cry, Eddie, what you had to experience as a child. Now, it's really important for people to understand why these people jumped you, why these black folks jumped you or were after you, and why you had to live in fear and get sick from your fear every day as a small boy to go home from school. Just the simple act of getting to your home from this institution that we call public school that all the kids are supposed to go to and get this education and, you know, improve their lives somehow. And yet this made your life a living hell. Well, it's because it's not because you were somehow a bad kid. No, it's because you were white and they're black. Like, they hate us. And yet we are always accused of being the haters and being the racists. In fact, that piece that Nancy read says it only too well, that by definition, only whites can be racist. And then they have to put qualifiers in front of it, like reverse racism. Like, what does that mean? It means the only racism can be from whites, according to their definitions. And it's very deliberate. Also, you know, you're talking about black on white crimes, and this is a rhetorical question. Why don't they report about those in the mainstream media? Why don't we learn about that on the nightly news, on television? I mean, we know why. It's because they want to shape our brains and mold our minds. And that's why so many of our people have unwittingly, they're turned against us. Like, they use our own people to turn into agents of our own destruction. And it says it right in the protocols of the Elders of Zion, that we will become agents of our own destruction. And that is through this psychological warfare that is waged on us. And a big part of that is, I guess some people call it the fifth column, the media, the mainstream media, all owned and controlled by the Jews. And it always does come back to them. So whatever race relations we have difficulties between blacks and whites, we can always point our fingers back at the Jews who have set this up. They have set us up for this, these race relations that are really, like, we're not meant to live together. Birds of a feather flock together. This is a natural thing, that birds of a feather flock together. We weren't meant to be living all mixed up. Anyway, I've kind of gone on. I'll pause now.
I'd like to add one thing more. Then I'm going to go right to Nancy. Here's just one last story of what happened to me. Okay, I had a wonderful black friend. Oh, he was the salt of the earth. I used to play football with him almost every day, and the only other two white kids in that neighborhood. Well, this guy, it's like he was a brother to me, I thought. Here I am, 11 years old. But one day on the home from school, I was almost home, and I got caught by a black gang. And they got me down, and they were kicking me, man. They were kicking. Kicked me damn near to death. I'm so fortunate I survived that. Thank God I survived it. And guess who was kicking me harder than anybody? Guess who was trying to kick me in the head and kick me in the face?
Your friend. Wonderful
black, the best friend I had at the time. I never saw him. I could not catch him because it's the last thing. I had a Browning Sweet 16. I kept stoked at home, but I couldn't carry it to school. And I chased that coon. I could never catch him. And this last thing here, this is, listen, Miss Monica and Miss Nancy, this was a this survey, this comes from the source is the Bureau of Justice Statistics, National Crime Victimization Survey 2018. I'm sure it's much worse since then. The black on white crime that year, 2018, I'm going to round it off, 440, it says 447,948. So it was 448,000 black on white crimes in the United States that year. Okay, it was 59,000 white on black. I mean, and Hispanic on white, 365,000 Hispanic on white. And the white on Hispanic, 207,000. So, I mean, it's no doubt. But anyway, that didn't mean to take up too much of the time. I want people to know that that's your good black. And I saw that happen at Fort Polk. And I saw it happen at Camp Bullis. Those are your good blacks. You know, that infuriates me. You know what? I'm going to say this last thing. I much rather prefer to be around one of those Zulus that just got through cutting somebody's white head off than to be around one of these race traitors. The race traitor is the worst creature on the earth. They're worse than a hookworm. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Sister Nancy. I hope, well, somebody, but, hope I didn't get too carried away.
No, you're absolutely right. And I'm going to go back to what Monica was talking about. The blacks do hate us. It's very obvious. It's nothing new, of course. Most whites don't understand that hatred, because they don't feel that way about blacks. They do not understand the deep hatred that the blacks have for us, that's just ingrained in them.
And we got to go to a quick break, Miss Nancy.
I hear the music.
But don't forget that. Come right back to that after the break. Be right back, folks.
Yeah.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. Illegal crossings at the U.S. southern border are hitting record highs. Customs and Border Protection said it stopped more than 250,000 migrants along the Mexican border in December. That's a 7% increase compared to November. Reflects a 40% jump from December of 2021. It's the highest of any month since President Biden took office. The Justice Department is conducting a formal investigation into Abbott Laboratories nearly a year after the baby formula shortage.
According to the Wall Street Journal, investigators are focused on Abbott's production facility in Sturgis, Michigan. The plant was shut down by Abbott last February after formula from that plant was linked to infants becoming sick. That closure set off the nationwide formula shortage. Abbott says they are fully cooperating in the investigation. I'm John Schaefer.
White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain may be on his way out. The New York Times reports the veteran political consultant's resignation would be the biggest staff shakeup in the Biden administration since he's taken over the White House 2 years ago. A search for his replacement is already reportedly underway. Graceland hosting a public memorial service for Lisa Marie Presley this weekend.
Preparations are underway for Sunday's memorial service at Graceland, where the late Elvis Presley's daughter will be laid to rest beside her father, his parents, and Lisa Marie's son, Ben. Fans tell NBC News they wouldn't miss the moment for anything.
When Elvis died, I was 15 years old, and I remembered the impact of that. When I found out that Lisa Marie passed away, it was like, I need to be there.
We've watched Lisa grow up, and we've seen a lot of Elvis through her.
Fans will be able to view the gravesite following the memorial service. Lisa Marie's official cause of death is still unknown. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Daytona Beach police say they're still negotiating with a woman who barricaded herself in a hospital room after shooting her terminally ill husband earlier today. This is USA News.
Today, those interested in maintaining healthy blood sugar glucose levels still have limited choices when it comes to good-tasting, thirst-quenching beverages. One brand expanding consumer choice for blood sugar-friendly beverages is GlucoDown. Manufactured by publicly traded Glucose Health Incorporated, trading under the symbol GLUC, a leader in America's true growth industry, diabetes-friendly functional beverages. GlucoDown's prebiotic fiber blocks the body's absorption of dietary sugars, moderates after-meal increases in glucose levels, and helps maintain regular digestive health. Every nutritious and delicious serving has no sugar, no caffeine, and is a great source of prebiotic soluble fiber. All 8 flavors are dietitian-recommended to maintain blood sugar in a healthy range. Available at CVS, Publix, online at Walmart.com, and a top category choice on Amazon. For more information on the company, visit GLUCReport.com. To begin maintaining your blood sugar in a healthy range, visit Amazon and search GlucoDown, GLUCO, down.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Naked, merciless force is the only damn thing that counts, y'all people. Voting doesn't count. Your friggin' letters doesn't count. Even though I want you to make these phone calls to this Jew, United States Congressman for the Western District of Tennessee, Kevin J. Jew Ritz, R-I-T-Z. Call him and pester the hell out of him. Call the Steve Mulroy, the Shelby County District Attorney in Memphis. I'll give their numbers at him again if I don't forget, because I won't hog up any more of the show. But the naked, raw, merciless power, even a gorilla knows that. The gorilla general just said that in the commercial. He knows that's the only thing that's going to matter in the damn end. Back to you, Sister Nancy.
Well, I think Monica wanted to read something.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Correct. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Miss.
Well, this is just. Yeah, it's following up from what we're talking about in the last quarter or two quarters. This is a quote, a direct quote by a guy named Israel Cohen. I have no idea what tribe he's from. It's really hard to tell from his name, Israel Cohen. Just kidding. Okay, he said. Quote, we must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tensions. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory. While inflaming the Negro minority against the whites, we will endeavor to instill in the whites a guilt complex for their exploitation of the Negroes. We will aid the Negroes to rise in prominence in every walk of life, in the professions and in the world of sports and entertainment. With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause. End quote.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and if people would go back and look at the founding fathers and the organizers and the members of organizations such as the NAACP, Southern Poverty Law Center, ADL, Bina Brit, these were all basically Jewish fronts founded by Jews and in opposition to white people, basically. Go back to South Africa. Who was fighting to basically overthrow for generations the Republic of South Africa? Jews, along with a few blacks that they would have under their wing. So, and Martin Luther King, of course, he was another local criminal that they're wanting to honor. But back to black crime and whether I say this. When you talk about hate crimes, let's talk about crimes in general. Are not almost all crimes of hate in some form of fashion? Why do we specifically have to have something called a hate crime that is labeled? Basically, of course, it's always whites who are considered haters. But in my opinion, crimes, no matter what they are there is there a reaction of an act of crime of hatred, in effect, that's what they are. And I wanted to I think we've gone over this before, but I was going to mention, you know, Memphis is way up there in the number of murders they have, and this is a 2021 figure. They had like 346. Detroit in 2021, 309 murders, and in Louisville, 188. Now, the compelling part that people should compare this to is the percentage of blacks in each one of these cities. In Memphis, there's at one point, I don't know, it probably has increased by now, 63% black, Detroit 77% black, and Louisville 24% black. The safest cities are cities that have very small percentages of blacks. For example, there was a listing of safe cities, and this gives you the population in these three safe cities, safe for us. Elizabethtown, Kentucky, they only have 8.4% blacks. Portland, Maine, 8.3%. And wow. Logan, Utah, 1.3%. Does that mean anything? Huh?
That's why I got to tell Sam. Anyway, we'll go anyway. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. No, that's basically that was what I wanted to point out. And, you know, back to this horrible crime that took place in Knoxville involving a young white couple, Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom. I was made aware of a protest that was going to be held in Knoxville to protest the fact that there were about four black men and actually one black woman involved in these horrendous, atrocious attacks on this couple. The protest that I attended, and I assumed a neutral stance because I wanted to get into the protest and take photographs of our enemies. What happened in 2007, when I went down to Knoxville, I've stayed on the grounds of actually some people who were with the Klan. And there were about 30 or maybe 40 men who were going to go and protest with their signs. And they were just going to say it's not equal justice, that these people, these blacks needed to be, you know, held up to hate crimes and convicted of hate crimes. Of course, a death penalty wasn't even good enough for them, in my opinion. They should have been shot immediately. But at any rate, what amazed me was the whole town almost was closed down. police cars everywhere, bicycles, dogs, a big tank. It's not, they don't call it a tank, but it looked like a tank that they were using. Men with batons. I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds of cops everywhere. So as I sat, I copied these photos. Well, we also had the usual stupid whites, and they were mainly whites, not blacks protesting us. They were mainly whites who were showing signs that indicated we were racist. We were the no good ones. The blacks who had committed these heinous crimes were not the villains. It was us. It was us who was trying to get them convicted of hate crimes. And like I say, I took photographs and I sent them to Eddie, copies of some of the photographs. You even have the cops videoing the men who were in the protest, not our people, not the agitators. They couldn't get to us in this particular case. There's a barricade. There were female police who were taking photographs. It was just a scene of, actually, it showed you the tyranny that we're living under. White man is nothing to them. The white man is just he's a peon. He's a fool to stand up there and take a stand against blacks who our government supports. That's basically what it ends up to be. So I'm sure they were not convicted of hate crimes, and I would say the woman probably didn't spend too much time in jail, and I'm not sure. I'm sure that they didn't get the death. If they got the death penalty, I'm sure they're still alive.
I think that woman got out of it. I think some Jew lawyer got her, at least got her a greatly reduced sentence. She might even be out of jail yet. I'm not sure. But
She ended up here in Kentucky. Somehow.
Oh, you're kidding.
She may have been a native of Kentucky. I don't know. She ended up here in Kentucky. But she was an equal participant. I mean, if she wanted to, she should have tried to call the police. I mean, they had that young girl raping her for 24 hours.
It's the hell they went through. You know, I'd like to just quickly describe what they did, and briefly, because
sure,
people need to know
this. That's, some people don't know about this.
We can't emphasize this enough. People need to hear this, what your precious Negro friends are doing. They captured these people. And here's just a few of the things they did. They took the man, the boy, the white boy, Christopher Newsom, and they took objects like, shards of wood, and they sodomized him with it. Could you imagine having a shard with splinters on it up your rectum, up into your large and descending intestine? Can you imagine? They did that. That's one of the things they did to him. They poured bleach on him. They burned him. They beat him. And like Rand said in the first hour, they took him out barefooted, naked, took him, ran him down the railroad tracks on a dog leash for further humiliation. They shot him three times. Then they set him on fire. Of course, that's not a hate crime. That's just an answer. You know, it's just a spontaneous, it's just an accident. Then the girl, she was much worse. Like Sister Monica said, Sister Nancy said, she was tortured for some days, and she was raped over and over and over, frontal and back, sodomized, vaginalized, any way you can be raped. They put her. Well, we got to go one more break. I'll finish saying what they did, and I'll shut up. But hang on to your seats, people.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Jock Ewing was so right, just what we said earlier. The only thing that matters is raw, merciless, unbridled force. You cannot have any mercy on this enemy. Just like Jock Ewing said in that famous clip, real power, real liberty, we're going to have to take. We're not going to have liberty. We're not going to have any life. They're trying to kill us. These people are our enemy. And people will go right back. Before I forget, I got a note from Valerie Protopapas. She says, I hope everyone will consider buying this book by Monica Schaefer. And I'd like to remind people, you need to go to Barnes Review and buy this the book that our dear Monica Schaefer has published. I'm going to try to get, I would like to buy a box of them and send them to some of our favorite people, and maybe some of the people that have never listened before, get them to maybe send a small donation to sell some of these books. Anything to get this book out there. But anyway, people, I just want to go back to what we were talking about, Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom, some of the things they had. The lady, Shannon Christian, listen, she was kept in the house near the railroad tracks and raped over and over. I couldn't imagine going through that. She raped the regular way, they had stuck, you know, objects up her vagina, just like they did the boy. They tried to get rid of the evidence by pouring Clorox all over her, other forms of, chemicals. They chopped her up. They beat her. Listen, then they cut her up. They stuffed her into a plastic bag like you put cat litter in. And that's what they finally figured out. The coroner finally figured out that's what finally got her. Can you imagine, after going through all that hell, choking to death, smothering to death with plastic bags around you? That's what they did. And then Sister Nancy went up there to Knoxville to protest that and try to get these feral animals brought to justice, and other white people are going to protest them. I have no mercy on those white people. I despise those people more than I do the Satan, more than I do the devil. I hate those white people. I don't want anything to do with them. We don't appeal to them. We won't recruit them. I want nothing to do with them. I despise them. Back to you, Mr. Monica.
So, Nancy, are you saying that, okay, you protested. Were there many with you protesting again, to bring justice or make sure these feral animals were brought to justice? And then there were counter protesters against you.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And
yeah.
And what were the police doing? Were they protecting you, or were they protecting them?
They were, it was an unusual situation. What happened, I found out about it at the last minute, through this Eli James.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he may be Jewish himself. But anyway, somehow I got connected with him. And it was actually on a private grounds owned by Klan members, is really what it was, where the grounds where I stayed. I stayed in my car and other people were there. We got there the day before the protest, probably Friday evening, and the protest was Saturday. Well, what happened, somehow or other, the police boarded all of the members who were protesting. There was about 40 men, I guess, on a bus. I guess, in a way, it was to protect them, and took them to the center of town where the protest was going to be held. And like I say, I wasn't privy to how they were transported, but that's what I understood, because I went in my own car to be a neutral force taking photographs. I wanted to see what was really going on both sides. In other words, I was not with the protesters, even though I really was. And I was between the, well, you could call them Antifa, the people who were protesting us were behind. They came in. They were a bunch of gays, as usual, and white women, and very few blacks. It was mainly whites, and they were holding up protests. They were protesting, calling us racist, Klan members, and, you know, we were the bad guys. In the meantime, Dr. Ed Fields, he's been around for years. He's a nationalist, a white nationalist. He spoke, and basically they were just, you know, saying we need equal justice. I mean, these people need to be tried under hate crimes. Now, they were probably asking for the death penalty. I don't know. I'm going to have to check on this. I say, there were actually five blacks involved. One was a female. I don't think she spent much time. I don't know whether they're on death row now. I don't know if I'm assuming they're still in prison. But you know the way that things work in this country, they could very well be out. I mean, you just cannot trust the system. I want to pitch out something that happened that I was very aware of in 1981 here in Louisville. We had a horrible crime happen to a female who was working by herself at a gas station. Three young blacks came in. I think originally they were coming in there to steal cigarettes, but they just saw this woman by herself. She was a young woman. They took her to the bathroom and sodomized her and raped her and whatever. They took her in her mother's car and drove her to another location where they shot her. I created a petition to have these three sent to death row. And I guess we got about 100. I sent this petition all over the country to the president. One was presented at court to the judge. And so you can imagine what happened. The youngest one got no time. There were three men. One man died in prison, and the other one became a Christian. And the former governor of Kentucky gave him a reprieve from the death penalty, and now I think they want to get this bastard out of jail. This is how it works.
So typical.
I mean, what is the injustice of someone spending endless time in court fighting with our money to get a reprieve from a crime everybody knew these three men committed? They were youngsters, they were young men, and then he becomes a Christian. And all of a sudden, former governor Patton gave him a reprieve to life in prison. Now they're trying to get him out.
You just have to wonder if the roles were reversed. Reverse the colors. And like I was saying during the break, that actually they have to manufacture and stage crimes that were even one-tenth as horrific as some of these crimes that are done by blacks on whites, to try to make it look like whites do all these crimes on blacks. So they have to stage things because, I mean, these are just such horrendous crimes. And of course, it's all part of this agenda and these don't get covered in the mainstream media at all. And their treatment is so different. Like, I don't know, it just is so obvious. And then what were these Antifas, the ones who were protesting against you? I wonder what they were fed into their soft little brains, why they would feel justified in protesting against you, who is simply seeking that these people who did the most horrendous crimes were brought to justice. I mean, what if it was their sister who was tortured like that and then murdered after days and days of torture? What if it was their sister and brother?
I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's the fear of being called a racist. They don't want to be even close to someone who they consider to be a racist.
That's right.
The most diabolical term in the American, the English language. That is why these whites and mainly women, were protesting us because they were shaking in their boots that if they didn't do that, they might be aligned with us and be called a dirty name, an obscene name. The most vile name in the English language is racist.
Yeah, you're right. It's the most weaponized word there is. And so since we know that everything is inverted, we have to look at that word more closely. The reason it is the most weaponized word there is because we are meant to be separate. Like, we are, blood is important. Mm-hmm. Blood is mm-hmm. everything. The blood that flows through our veins is everything. It is
absolutely.
Important. We are different. We have
absolutely.
Different races, and we should stay separate. And that's why this word has become the most weaponized term there is.
You know, I've got to say something before the break. Monica has written a fantastic book. I've got it right in my little sweaty hands here.
Yes.
It's called Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust, The Trials and Tribulations of the Schaefer Siblings by Monica Schaefer, your guest who you're listening to right now. This wonderful book with lots of family history, wonderful photographs, and, of course, a story that I haven't read yet is available at the Barnes Review, Post Office Box 550, White Plains, Maryland, 20695, or go to their website, barnesreview.com, or
.org.
Call the...
Is it .org?
Printed on here, it says .com.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I mean, it may be. That's printed on the back of the paperback.
Okay.
The number to call is 877-773-9077. It's a great book, and it's $25 plus $5 shipping. That's from the Barnes Review, and I hope people will consider buying it. It's very, very well done, Monica. It's a wonderful book. I'm so happy to have a copy, and I just hope people will buy it. It's an eye-opener, which, you know, we're living in an era of people are hoodwinked, they're brainwashed, and this is a topic they need to be aware of.
Thank you so much, Nancy, for putting a plug in. Because I didn't write the book to aggrandize anything about me. It's about the bigger cause. It's about the truth. It's about sharing this, my little story, but it's about the big picture, you see. So that's really what it's about. It's about the bigger picture. So thank you so much for putting a plug in for that.
Thank you
and
for
I
writing
tell you,
it.
Eddie and Monica, and of course I know Monica knows this, Monica was suffered a lot of harassment, intimidation, and very hurtful events among people who knew her well. So she suffered and came through it with grace and honor and courage, and I just commend you, Monica. It's really a great, you're a very brave woman.
Oh, Nancy, I'm going to be blushing here.
That's why we call her Sister Braveheart.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And she is Braveheart. She's one of the bravest of the brave. So are you, Sister Nancy. You know what, while you, on that line, I hope our audience realizes, I'm sure they do, how rare, it's very rare to have a man, a white man with courage nowadays. They're very hard. But to find white women, white ladies like you two, it's extremely rare. Most white women just don't have them in them. They're not political minded. They're not defense minded. So I don't know of another woman that's ever gone and done a protest. I really don't, other than you two. I don't know another single one.
Well, there's
it.
There's a few. Sylvia Stoltz, Ursula Haverbeck. Mm-hmm. There's another lady, Marianne Wilfert, in jail right now in Germany. There are a few. And mm-hmm. there's men as well, lots of men. But, you know, in general, we've been so affected by the Jewish education, the Jewish propaganda, the Jewish lies, deceptions. That's their weapon, psychological mm-hmm. warfare. We have
yes,
suffered it from it.
Well, folks, unfortunately, we've run out of time for the second hour. We're getting ready to transition. Excuse me, to the third hour. We're gonna have Sister Nancy on, and we're bringing in Brother Gene Andrews, aka the Braveheart. So, people, hang on your seats. Going into the last hour. We'll be right back.